the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Probably one of the hardest things that a parent has to do. And I've watched some of my friends, as I say, through the social media, doing it over the last couple weekends, taking that kid off to college for the first time. Lots of tears, lots of sadness, a lot of uncertainty. I'm not talking about on the part of the kid. I'm talking about on the part of the parent. When you drive away, that first weekend rolls around. I know a lot of Christian parents are concerned that that kid they've just dropped off at the university finds a place to go to church, actually goes to church. They're concerned about their spiritual life as well as their education and their safety and all the other things that concern parents. At the top of the list is their kid's spiritual life. Joining us to talk about pastoral care for college students, Pastor Marcus Zill. He's a regular guest. He's campus pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Laramie, Wyoming, and he is a campus ministry coordinator for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Marcus, welcome back.
Hey, good to be here, Todd.
We often talk about it from the student's perspective, which is the end that you work at, but what about the parent's perspective? I've dropped off my kid for their freshman year at the University of Wyoming, and I'm already home, and the weekend is rolling around. My concern is that my son or my daughter goes to church. What do I do next? Do I call him on Saturday night to remind him to go to church?
Well, first of all, it's interesting to talk about things from this perspective, because in my experience, parents have a greater adjustment than their kids. For the college students, at first, it kind of seems at first like they're just being dropped off for a camp. They've been in a dorm room before. And it maybe hits them a little bit later. But for mom and dad, I mean, it's a huge adjustment. And, of course, their biggest concern is where their, as you mentioned, where their young son or daughter is going to go to church. Obviously, if parents can hang around for the weekend, do something for a couple of days. Usually kids get dropped off in the dorms on Thursday or Friday, sometimes even earlier. The earlier they can come back and actually physically go to church with their young son or daughter, so much the better. Because a college student, you know, we're asking a lot from them, even our good, solid Lutheran young people, to get up in the middle of all the hoopla that's going on in the dorms and everybody staying up till 3 in the morning, and the kind of the busting out of realizing that you've got freedom and you don't have to go to bed at a certain time or be in. And then we're saying, hey, get up, go to a strange church on your own. Maybe you don't even have a vehicle. And then walk into a strange congregation with new people that you've never met before. It's a very awkward situation. And young people aren't always prepared for that. And so the best thing parents can do is, if they can't do it that first weekend, get down there within a couple of weeks, and if you're going to go visit, go on the weekend. You've got time anyways, and actually go to church with them.
What is the biggest challenge from the student's perspective? Because one of the things they do realize quickly is that, especially if it's a major state school or university, there are all sorts of ministries. There's all sorts of campus churches, not only on or near campus, but all around it. It is, I mean, everybody's trying to get in on this opportunity, these students who are coming from afar.
Well, and that is a challenge, because I know here at the University of Wyoming we have some 40 different religious organizations trying to vie for the attention of the Missouri Synod kids, the Lutheran kids that we're trying to draw to our place. And so we have to, as a campus ministry, not just stay off campus at the great location that we have, but we also have to kind of build a presence on the campus itself. And so that's becoming increasingly important because all of the non-denominational groups like CRU, the artists formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ, and Navigators and others, they're on campus. They're doing stuff on campus. That's their world. That's where they live, meet, and have their being. They don't have places off campus. And we as a campus ministry can't afford to kind of stay away from that. So we need to actually step up to the plate and do even more to get connected with our own Lutheran young people in advance of their showing up to college for the first time. But we also need to, I think, demonstrate to them that we're willing to engage the culture, engage the campus, engage those that are in these other campus ministries, and make sure that they know that we're here and that we have something that they're not going to get or hear anywhere else.
What is that? What is there that they're not going to get at kind of the non-denominational Bible study or just the kind of generic, let's get together and strum our guitar kind of campus youth group?
Well, what they're not going to get is they're not going to hear the truth about their sin and the truth about who Christ really is. Most of the campus ministries on campus deal with everything on the emotive level. It's an escape from academia. It's a matter of dealing with their emotions. It's a matter of giving them an experience. What we want is for these young people to perhaps, for the first time in their life, come to an even deeper realization of the incredible richness of what they have within the Lutheran Divine Service, within the opportunity to hear the truth of God's Word, the law and the gospel proclaimed very, very clearly. And for many young people, with the types of things that go on a college campus, which moms grow up fearing, dropping their kids off for that reason, there's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of concern over whether or not they're falling away from their faith as they're confronted with different worldviews on campus. And they need to hear the truth of God's law and gospel even clearer. And so that's what they don't get. They don't hear honesty. They don't hear authenticity. And so the best thing, as I've always said, that we as Lutherans can do is to be who we are, because it's exactly what our college students need us to be.
In what sense is it also that this is a stage of development, not only in their social life, their educational life, their adult life, where a huge step is being taken. But there's an opportunity here for them to do the same with respect to their, for lack of a better word, their responsibility as a church member.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the most exciting things about campus ministry, and no two campus ministries are the same. Not every school has a full-time campus ministry like I'm privileged to serve at. But in a college town, in a college congregation, whether it's a full-time campus ministry or something else, a town gown situation, there is an opportunity for young people to be involved in the life of the church in a way that they've never thought was possible until they were like 70 back home. At my congregation, if I don't have young people involved, I don't really have a congregation because they're 80% of everything that goes on here. And so there's a tremendous opportunity to raise up future church leaders, young men that seek to go on and become pastors, young ladies that might consider becoming deaconesses. You know, it goes on and on and on, but the opportunity for developing student leadership is huge in an atmosphere like this. And so, you know, we structure our life together that, you know, we're church. Maybe a different context, maybe a unique demographic, but we're still church. And church, what young people need in terms of their life in Christ before they come to college is the same thing that they need after they leave college, and it's most definitely exactly what they need while they're at college.
So let's talk about the pastoral end of this. We've talked about the parents and a little bit about the students, but let's talk about the pastoral end. First of all, that home pastor, he obviously remains the pastor to that student, even though the student, he may not see that student, but at Thanksgiving, Christmas, maybe a little bit during the summer. What is his responsibility way back at home?
Well, I mean, that's an important part of this because, you know, I'm serving, most campus pastors or other workers are serving young people who they are not their primary pastor. In many ways, we really are kind of like chaplains, like you would think of as a military chaplain for those that are away from home for a time. And we try to remain in close contact with their home pastors. usually the pastor or parents are the first line of defense and even helping us, or maybe even offense, and helping us to get the name of the young person so we can even reach out to them in the first place. But yeah, as situations of pastoral care come up, I do whatever I can to try to make sure that their pastor is aware of the situation, and at times I encourage a young person to talk to their own pastor, or the pastor will call me up and help me understand a situation that's going on. So it really does take more than just a campus pastor or worker to try to care for these people. It's really kind of, if you think about, kind of like a relay race, it's about helping to pass on the baton. But the biggest barrier to pastoral care that I see from my perspective is just flat out knowing who these young people are as early as possible, so that I can engage my congregation and my students and myself in trying to reach out to them earlier rather than later.
How early are you talking?
Well, ideally, I'd love to know, you know, the second they decide where they're going to go to college. I'm a firm believer that campus, we need to start thinking a little bit more holistically in terms of how we reach young people. Campus ministry doesn't start in, you know, May when they graduate and think about going off to school. Many campus pastors will do anything they can to get young people in their on their campus ministry sites, coming to their congregation. We host our district youth weekend every year. Anything I can do to get to know these young people 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years before they even show up. But at the very least, sometime early in the summer, before they head off to school. Because a lot of the things, in my experience, I've been doing this for 14 years now, and I'm as excited as I was the first time I did it, because it's kind of the same for a campus pastor. I feel like, I was just telling folks, I feel like a parent who yesterday just dropped off 75 young people, young kids, to go off to college. And so I feel the same things that many of the parents do, because I care about these kids in many ways the same way. And so anything I can do to get to know them earlier so that they feel a connection with not only the church but also myself and several of the other students is just really paramount for helping them to feel at home and at our church, which we hope that will become a church home away from home for them.
Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. We're talking about pastoral care for college students on this Tuesday afternoon, August 28th. When we come back, your questions and your comments on this subject. We're also going to talk a little bit about, well, some people say that campus ministry shouldn't be about an altar, a pulpit, or a font, or a church. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's here. It's here. It's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon. We're talking about pastoral care to college students. Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. He's campus pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Laramie, Wyoming, and he's a campus ministry coordinator for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What kind of questions or comments do you have about campus ministry? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email. We get them right here in real time in the studio. Talk back at issuesetc.org or a tweet at issuesetc. I know this is something that you have given a great deal of thought, especially lately, Marcus, and that is nowadays, also especially in our circles, there are those who say, look, campus ministry that is based at a congregation that's either near or on the edge of a college or university campus, that's an outdated model. We need to follow the crew model. We need to follow the navigator's model, a churchless, largely pastorless, kind of free-floating, small group-based, kind of open Bible study-based form of campus ministry. What do you say?
Well, first of all, it's not an outdated model, because I'll tell you that young people want church, and they may not realize it fully when they head off to college. They're thinking about the freedom that they have and the independence and the chance to kind of do whatever they want and spread their wings, and they're going to have that moment when they're looking for something that's nailed down, and we have that. We have the opportunity to offer that. You know, we for them to be able to see the altar and the pulpit and the font, and to see a church. For many of these young people, this maybe they have taken church for granted their entire life. It was just something that was there. And now they spread their wings a little bit, and they realize, my God, I need to find, you know, solid ground. And that's what the church has to offer. And on the one hand, we have a lot of wonderful campus ministry facilities like my own, and many places. And, of course, the economics are very tough. And then we've had situations like what's taken place, tragically so, up at University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis. And my heart continues to go out for those people, and especially those young people. I myself am sending a student up there that just graduated from here, and there's something that's symbolized when you something is just incredibly important for a young person to show up to a college campus, and if at all possible, to see that the church is right there. It's nestled up as close to that campus as it can be. It's kind of the church's way of saying, you know what, Satan, the world, secularists, we're not going to just give you our children. We're going to be there, and we're going to teach them, and we're going to help them grow even stronger in their faith as they go through this crucible that is their college life. And so I do think it's incredibly important. I would like to say that there is a lot that we can learn from what others are doing in campus ministry. Like I said, to me, it's not an either-or. It's a both-and. We need to have facilities like these at our college campuses. We need to have a churchly setting, but we also need to be on campus and reaching out to those, and not just giving that to the other side and those that are seeking to kind of draw them away from our churches.
But is it more than merely symbolic? The presence of an altar, a pulpit, a font, a place where the church actually is—not just it looks like church or seems like church—that is what establishes the church in that place.
No, that's absolutely true. And young people, you know, I've been doing this for 14 years now, and every year I offer 8 million different things and stuff that we can do and fun activities and Bible classes, but when it comes down to it, they want church. And I can't offer enough opportunities for them to come and hear God's word. I had a chance to meet with 3 young people to pray matins this morning before the start of their school day. And you know, to be able to do that in a church and then walk off your church grounds and walk right onto the campus is a powerful thing for them, and because they're remaining rooted in their faith. And so, yeah, it's not just symbolic. It is symbolic, but it is much, much deeper than that, as you say, because they're being fed with the things of Christ at the time that they need it most.
Now, let's come back to the parents there. Should the parents give you a call? Should they call the campus pastor?
You know, I think I can speak for any campus pastor or worker out there in saying that we really don't care who calls us. We're just dying to know who these young people are, preferably the parents, the pastors. Young people maybe aren't as, sometimes they will contact us directly. But we thank God for every parent that cares enough to contact us. Parents, if you're out there, don't wait around. Even if it's not a full-time campus ministry, call up the pastor, tell him your young person is there, because that will speak volumes to that pastor, or if there's another worker in a congregation that that you want to remain closely connected in helping them to do the best they can to care for your son or daughter.
You mentioned
absolutely.
That, you mentioned the tragedy of University Lutheran Chapel up there in the Twin Cities, and what I saw in the wake of that was how many people had come through the doors spending 2 or 4 years at the University of Minnesota, and these are people who have gone on to careers and families and children, and they remember that as their church. They remember what others would just kind of regard as a temporary little place to go to church when they were at school. They remember it as a church home. Talk about that.
Well, and it is exactly that and more. I mean, when you go off to college, and you maybe have taken your life in Christ and your church life for granted, and here you have this faithful, solid campus ministry that is church and more to you, and you come through college. I almost lost my faith when I went to college. Many people can share stories similar to mine. But to be able for people to realize just what they had and how important it was in their life, it's devastating to see that just taken away. And it's very hard, Todd, and your listeners need to understand this. You know, in our campus ministries, they're very transient. People come and go every 5 years. I practically have a new church. Same thing is true in Minneapolis. Same thing is true everywhere else. But these campus ministries are foundational in the lives of those that we do touch. And they go on to be solid, productive members and lay people, and sometimes even pastors and church workers in other places. And the interconnectivity of those who have come through that university is I would say, even stronger for those that have been blessed to be able to have a campus ministry like we have, simply because it's so foundational and people realize that it has contributed to keeping them in the faith at a very tough time of transition in their life.
Marcus, coming up next year, very early next year, I believe, there's going to be a national campus ministry conference called Unwrapped. What is it about?
Unwrapped is going to be the first really major campus ministry conference for college students that we've had in almost a decade in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's going to be held at St. Louis University on the campus of, St. Louis, Missouri, on the campus of St. Louis University. In fact, I think we're hoping to get you guys to come over and do a remote and maybe even get you to do a sectional or something. So we're looking forward to having an Issues, Etc. presence at this thing. It's right after the new year, January 3rd to 5th. The focus is it's an apologetics theme. Our featured speaker is going to be Craig Parton. Basically, what we're doing is it's going to be tying in a little bit to kind of the Christmas and Epiphany themes at that time of the year. We're still in the Epiphany season. And, it was said once that if Christmas was God the Father giving the gift of his Son to the world, that on Epiphany, God unwraps that gift, his Son, and shows him off to the world. And so we're going to tie in some of these themes, a lot of apologetics. More than anything, it's going to be an opportunity for college students from around the country to gather together, to spend time together, to worship together, to receive Christ's gifts, and to have a chance to learn how to defend and confess their faith on college when they go back to start the spring semester.
Folks, you can find out more about Unwrapped, a national LCMS ministry conference. It's January the 3rd through the 5th at the Bush Student Center on the campus of St. Louis University. At our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and we are making plans for a remote broadcast of Issues, Etc. from Unwrapped, January the 3rd through the 5th at St. Louis University. Issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Pastor Marcus Zill is campus pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Laramie, Wyoming, and he's a campus ministry coordinator for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Marcus, keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks. You're going to see a lot of great stuff coming in the next few years. We're excited about it.
When we come back from this break, we got hour two straight ahead on this Tuesday afternoon. We're going to spend that hour talking about a very common subject here on Issues, Etc., and we'll try and kind of take it apart piece by piece. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt has spent a lot of time. He deals largely with an audience, I think. He calls them those who are broken by the church. You know, there's somebody broken by the church back in the 16th century, and it led to the Lutheran Reformation. One Martin Luther, he rediscovered the gospel after having been broken by the church. In his case, it wasn't the soft moralism of American evangelicalism. It was the soft moralism of, well, medieval Roman Catholicism, but there's not that big of a difference between the two. That's why Martin Luther's rediscovery of the gospel is still quite relevant. And we'll spend the second hour of Issues, Etc., talking all about it with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn. I invite your questions and your comments. We are coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, the whole second hour on Martin Luther's rediscovery of the gospel with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at issuesetc. It is one of the most challenging times that your kids will face, that you will face. Now, remember this. The reason you had your child baptized there when they were just a squirming little baby was not for the time when you could hold them tight and keep them safe and wrapped up. It was for that time. Well, that time too, but especially for the time when you had to let them go. You're still the parents, but you have to let them go on their own, their fledgling years. And it is not just their upbringing or your determination to make sure that they stay on the spiritually right path that holds them there in the faith. Remember, it is the promise that God made in that baptism to keep them as His child that does that. When we come back, we'll talk about Martin Luther rediscovering the gospel. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Hi, this is Jonathan calling from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.